New media, the final frontier. These are the broadcasts of the Tomorrow Show. Its mission, to befriend fellow nocturnals, escapists, and dreamers. Not to mention angry loners, the socially inept, and those with Peter Pan syndrome. To boldly go where no broadcast has gone before. The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. Your overnight broadcast featuring one celebrity boyfriend's midlife crisis, millennials in Star Trek costumes, and so much more. The underdog's best friend. And all you need is a smartphone or access to the internet. Here's the captain of your tomorrow, Kevin Undergaro.
You know, you hear that sound, and clearly, you know, it's Thursday night on the Tomorrow Show. Barely fooled them again. I think Roxy would dispute me on that. I think maybe we got fooled.
I fooled no one.
Nobody.
I fooled fucking no one this week.
I'm sorry, honey. I feel as though, I don't know. Yeah, maybe we didn't fool them this week. Well, listen, everyone else, if we're here, I guess, listen, we're here. We're on the bridge. We're in our costumes. And it is Thursday night, as we said. So clearly, I think we did fool them. Just wasn't as obvious as how we usually fool them.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you guys, but I, hell damn, I'm drinking. And I'm drinking because you know why? Tomorrow, Friday, that's for the men.
100%.
It's our day. It's not the boss's day. It's not the boyfriend's day. It's not the girlfriend's day. The wife, the husband, the kids, nobody. Not even the dog's day. Your day. Your skin. You hear this song, you guys? Listen to this. This is Melanie.
Sounds like Stevie Nicks a little bit.
You think she's holding anything back, Roxy Stryer, at the Tomorrow Show bar?
No.
Not a thing. I sent this to Lauren LaGrasso. I'm like, Lauren, this is you, babe. You got to go into the vault. Bonjour, Juliette.
Damn. Bonjour, bonjour. Very, very good scam song.
Right? And she got together with some religious group. She wrote this after Woodstock. She saw all the kids and how they were protesting the war. It inspired her, 23 years old, to write this song. Kind of like the Adele of her day. Okay, we can make that happen. Your partner in crime, Phil Svitek, COO of AfterBuzz TV, boy genius. I keep telling him to put some time and bandwidth, because he's got so much of that. I want him to invest it in a time machine for us. So
yes.
If he figures that out, then yeah, we'll all be going to Woodstock, right, Michael Klaus?
Oh, you know I'm there, Kev.
Oh, my God. Well, but Michael Klaus, would we be, maybe we would be the ones who would be talking about the Lord at Woodstock? Because you know there had to be some people, right, walking around with Bibles?
Kev, a light shines brightest in the darkness.
Yeah, it does.
Actually, it shines just as bright in the light. You just see it.
Roxy, wow, okay.
The Jewish pragmatism just keeps...
It sucks. I don't fucking want it. I don't want to feel this fucking way.
Listen to this broad.
Don't you think that if I could sing, I could fucking kill
crush.
It? I would crush if I could.
Crush.
Yeah.
You can't sing at all? Well, your
a
vocal
little,
cords
but
are
yeah,
fried.
Exactly.
Look at her.
Up.
Happy. Throwing it all out there. I got to get Lauren LaGrasso on her folk guitar banging this out for me. What was I saying? It's Thursday night on the Tomorrow Show, and boy, did we get a lot of press on the Courtney Stodden interview. It went worldwide. People Magazine, Daily Mail, In Touch.
Holy smokes.
AOL, Wonderwall, blah, blah, blah. Perez Hilton, of course. Perez always loves our stuff.
Too fab.
And so on, and so on, and so forth. The little show that could continues to pull off some of the greatest scams known to man. And why, guys? Because at the end of the day, what? Life is...
A series of scams.
Just a series of scams. Poor Roxy on the other end of a scam. The scam of breakup.
It's fucking breakup scam.
Horrible scam.
If you get to choose your scams, don't choose this one.
No, rather be beat with a bat.
Pick that any day.
With a bat.
I'd rather have my ass handed to me.
Worst pain. Because you know what? You get beat with a bat, Michael Klaus, and I know this is hard for you to wrap your head around because you've had a very nice life. But you get beat with the bat, and guess what? You just go to the hospital, nice morphine drip, People bring you get well cards, flowers. You don't have to work. You're watching cable.
Yeah, I still fucking, and it's actually good that I have to work, but I still have to work. I still have to get up
have
in the
to.
Morning.
Have to.
And that's fucking crazy. Like,
tough.
When your world is completely
tough,
black
tough
for and
a millennial.
Nothing.
Tough for an American yeah. millennial, almost impossible because...
Almost impossible.
Given no tools to fight, to be resilient, none of that. So really, really harder on you guys. Because when you think of other generations, what they endured...
100%.
You know,
that's what I asked my grandfather in the interview I did with him at AfterBuzz TV, which I will be releasing shortly. I was like, so what happened like if you were sick or just like didn't feel like going to fight in World War II that day? He was
you
like,
stay home. They said, you're right. If you know history, and I wish Christian Blatt were here because he would back me up on this.
You stay home.
The generals yeah. and the sergeants would say, oh, okay,
take the day off.
Yeah, take the day off, relax.
Yeah,
listen,
don't
we
go
need,
drop that bomb
we
over
need
Germany.
You. We need you to be your best you.
Yeah, your best self.
And you also need to honor and receive what the people
yeah.
are saying, you know, their pain and suffering.
Yeah, with love and light.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they would say to him. No, he like laughed at me and was like, are you fucking kidding?
You know, I used to have a friend I grew up with, and you know, his big test if a girl had nice breasts?
What was it?
It was if he could crack an egg on them. I'm thinking we could crack an egg on...
Courtney Stodden's boobies?
Yeah. Right?
Well,
make a nice omelet.
Is my question about that, that's such a confusing, because they're so hard?
I don't know. He always said, oh, no, they're great, you know, great, such a nice chest. Oh, you could just crack an egg on those things. So here's the bigger question, and I know it's one for all of us to be. Could we crack an egg on Roxy's breasts?
I don't think they're hard enough.
Interesting.
I mean, they're big, but and they're pretty hard for real boobs,
mm-hmm.
but not
mm-hmm.
compared to fake boobs. Fake mm-hmm. boobs are hard.
Mm.
Courtney's are real, apparently.
That's a good point.
Are they real?
Yeah, 100%, she says.
Depends who you ask.
Didn't she pass a lie detector that said that?
Yeah, like a sonogram of some sort. She went on this show, I believe, with the doctors or something, and they said it was real.
Interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
Why are you smiling?
Because I've never seen faker breasts in my
all right,
entire
okay,
life.
All right, all right.
And
Julia,
can
we
doll.
Crack an egg on your breasts?
I don't think I would want that.
It's not about want. And nobody's going to do it. I'm just saying someone, you know, wise had said that to me and always stuck in my head.
Okay.
A nice,
yeah, fuck, you know, why, a why
nice,
fuck
nice two or three egg omelet. Yeah, but you have to have
The hardness?
The fibrous nature of the breast.
Yeah.
Needs to be strong enough to... crack that egg. Nice.
Yeah.
Psst. Yeah.
Wait. What am I seeing here on Daily Star that says in 2014 she admits that in May of 2013 that she had her breasts enlarged 3 cup sizes?
Okay, there we go. Thank you. But I feel like we could crack an egg on Michael Klaus's breasts.
Well, he's got the pecs and stuff like that. And
they're called chesticles?
Chesticles. Yeah, I mean, you could, but yeah, okay, fine. It's this new world we live in, so yeah okay, fine.
Uh-huh. Does it matter size?
I've lately been having really bad thoughts, Roxy.
About breasts?
Well, no, just have... No, not bad thoughts. Bad... No. Bad jokes and statements and comments have been popping into my brain that... I'm like, okay, I'm too old to say these things, and it's not the right time anymore. So even that, crack an egg on your, you know, chest, you know, I in this new movement, I really have to temper my words.
I know, normally I
haven't had to, but I don't know. Lately, I don't know if I'm experiencing a wrestling heel turn, but lately, I'm having inappropriate comments come into my brain.
I'm sorry, I've missed this, Kevin, so much.
What, the inappropriate comments?
Yes, it's
the best. Did I ever do them with you, Julia? I mean, around you?
Not directly to me. I just miss, like, your humor.
All right,
I've seen you censor yourself.
Jules, not to you, not to anybody, Kevin. You've never said an inappropriate. Do not let the world right now think that you've heard him say inappropriate things to people. You are the one man in Hollywood who has never.
But in the 90s, I did, but it was just funny.
In the 10 years I've known you and been in the same room as you thousands of times.
Other than putter.
Okay, but you've never said, like, can I lick your
I'm so glad you caught that. That's not what I was saying. I was saying that a lot of Kevin's humor, I feel like, has had to be censored over the last few months because of this millennial era we're in, and I do not like it.
Party is
over. I agree with you.
Like,
we can't have creepy boss anymore, and that's sad for all of us.
I will say this. I have to give listen, you know, it's always this show is the sister show to the Not Sam Network and to our dear, dear, dear friend and ally, Sam Roberts, Jim Norton and Sam Roberts show.
103.
On Sirius XM.
In the mornings.
But I will tell you my recent discovery, and it may just be more for, Mike, I may even get you a subscription to this to see if it's just my generation. But Anthony and Artie, the Anthony Cumia, his network Compound Media. So Artie and Anthony, excuse me, with Artie Lang and Anthony Cumia. The inappropriate things that come out of these guys' mouth, and half of the stuff I of course don't agree with, but it's hilarious of just two guys who've been incarcerated. I mean, look at their logo. It's literally two of their
mugshots.
Actual mugshots. And
what was Anthony incarcerated for?
I think maybe not spousal abuse, but something like that. Something with a girlfriend, something.
Too much fun.
But the stuff that the stuff that comes out of these guys' mouth, it kills me. It's funny. When we had Jim Florentine on the show, Jim off camera said, "Are you listening?" And I said, "Yeah." He was like, "Kevin, it's like Howard in the 90s, but way worse, way less politically correct."
What do you think happens to them because of it or nothing? Are they immune?
The good thing about this universe that we're living in with new technology is, you know, if they can afford the facilities,
they can just do it themselves.
They can do it themselves. They're obviously not going to be able to go wide with, advertising, but you know, they can get some of the niche ads. Plus they have a subscription model. So if their fans are going to pay the subscription, they can go directly to their fans. And I think that's actually kind of cool. As long as they're not inciting people to go and rise up, which doesn't sound like they are. But, and then there's a couple other shows. There's another show, In Hot Water, that's really funny. And there's another one, Burning Bridges with Kevin Brennan. You probably know Neil Brennan, the comedian, Rox?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
So he's got an older brother who's only had like the slightest fraction of success.
Oh, yeah, I know who that is.
So you know Neil?
Yeah, yeah.
So he produced, I think I talked to him once way back in the day because he also worked on Singled Up before I did. Super talented guy. But his brother, who's also talented but didn't have the success.
I saw him live a few weeks ago.
You saw Neil?
Neil, yeah.
So was he good?
Ridiculous.
Yeah, he's great.
He wrote for the Dave Chappelle Show.
That's right.
He
produced it. You know, he wrote and produced it. Genius guy. Well, right. The brother is very funny too, but he didn't have the same success. So this brother is completely bitter and angry. And his show is called Burning Bridges. His name's Kevin Brennan. And another one.
Oh, wow.
Says the craziest, most inappropriate things. And I think we should try to get him on the show because he hasn't really interviewed with anybody. I mean, he's made some appearances on shows.
Well, the first picture that pops up when you type him in is like him with a fucked up nose, like somebody just punched him in the face, bleeding from it.
And I wouldn't be surprised if that is not what happened.
Wow.
Anyway, this network is it really funny. And Maria said to me recently, she's like, she was telling our therapist, she's like, you know, and he wonders why he's depressed. He listens to this, all this like stuff that all it does is spew hatred. I'm like, but I find it funny. And Sam and Jim don't spew hatred. They're goofy.
No, they don't. But they also don't spread love. You're not listening to like the podcasts that are about like inspiration and hope.
That's our job. If you read the original Star Trek series, that's what it was about, Roxy. It was about hope.
I watched it.
That genders could get along, that races could get along, and that mankind would not destroy itself. That we'd actually have a future. So that's what we do here. We provide the hope. So I can get the trash from other places.
Yeah, but do you get the hope from anywhere?
You know, that's a really good question.
Okay, I know Sam used to bag on when I used to listen to the show and he hated Delilah. Remember, he hated Delilah and would always talk about Delilah. Delilah talking about love and happiness.
Well,
but like maybe all of us should have a Delilah.
I don't know. I mean, Sam's just very pragmatic. And I'm actually having this realization with Sam is that, you know, 10 years of O&A. And when you think about those guys and how the O&A and Jimmy, the show was rather depraved. And very, I mean, still number two show in the world, and I think in history, which says a ton. But I feel like Howard, for any shortcomings he has a code. He loves animals. He obviously, he's loyal to his wife. He's a good dad. I mean, just, and I think that, so it's a different experience working there. But O&A, it was just darkness, and it was fun. But you could tell it was it wasn't one of those places like, hey, we all bust each other. Like, look, Mike, we all play poor Michael Klaus, 6 foot three, gorgeous, chiseled out of stone. But but the thing is, we pick on Mike, but come on, at the end of the day, he has everyone's back here. We have his.
Yeah, 100%.
But it seems like at O&A, that was not the case. No. And I think Sam Roberts being raised in that environment, it's a testament to Sam being Sam. Like I always say, he doesn't watch Game of Thrones. I'm like, Sam, if you were the Khaleesi, you could walk out of the fire with the eggs too, like she did. And I actually think that of you too, and I actually think that of Maria. Not so much myself. But
maybe that's not your role.
It's not my role. I have plenty of other scams. No, I die in like the last season, but I help a lot of people along the way.
Maybe you're the grayscale guy who then goes on the thing.
Will you stop? That's what Abby said. That old friggin' guy, you guys keep putting me.
No, not because
that. He fights like a pussy. No.
He gets rid of the grayscale.
Yeah, he gets rid of the grayscale. Fights like a pussy. He's also the worst actor on it. He's
some, really? I think he's so good.
Yeah, Khaleesi. He's such a local masterpiece theater hack.
Fine.
My God.
Maybe you're the Jon Snow. Who do you want to be?
It's not who I want to be. Who am I? I don't know.
I'm not the Khaleesi. I'm the Arya.
No, I told you who I am. I feel like I'm Jaime Lannister. With the one hand who's just like semi-broken.
Minus the fucking your sister part of it.
I had it. She was hot.
Yeah, so
I hate how she cut the hair too. Can't we just be evil with long hair?
The other day I did think about this. I think you would have a very hot sister if she exists. Did
I don't know.
I think you would have been such a good brother.
You know, Maria? Yeah, I would have been a great
You would have been the best brother. It would have been so hard because growing up, she would have been like this little hot girl. And you wouldn't have known. But then when you turned like 25, you would have like learned how to deal with her hotness.
Yeah.
Fake life.
Not in the cards. That's why I got all you guys.
Yeah.
I feel like it would have been hard for her to date, though, because Kevin puts up like high expectations. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but look at how I am with you guys. I let you guys date who you want and scam with who you want and then make your mistakes. And I just sit there and go, okay, and wait. When you need me, I'm here. So maybe when I was younger, but not now. No. I don't know. It's all speculation.
100%. Don't even know why I brought it up.
Listen, the Kumia Network is a lot of fun. And I was just, but I was realizing with Sam, like, wow, it's amazing he came out of that and is such a good dad and a good husband, and he doesn't get rattled, and he really handles, you know, Sam's such a young guy to be in that position, and he forgets that. I'm like, Sam, you're really supposed to be about 41 to have the job you have. You're not early 30s. That's unheard of. And he gets a lot of jealousy, and you can hear the resentment from the older, like,
people,
guys that go on the show.
Where do you think he honestly ends up in 10 years?
Oh.
Did you say dead?
No, his dad. I just said, where do you think he gets it from? His dad. He's got a great relationship with the father, and the father is also like him. Very logical, very...
Well, when he does hit 41,
where is he? He will be a hybrid of wherever Sirius is at. He'll be prominent there, and he'll be prominent in the digital space. Remember, there is no... Just like there's really never been another Johnny Carson. You notice that?
Yeah.
Right, you don't consider Leno the next Carson.
Yeah, no.
Carson was Carson. Then there were other guys that have done the Carson-esque job and been very successful. But in radio, there's only one Howard. There's never going to be another Howard. That's it, done. So Sam's not going to be the next Howard because there's not going to be another Howard. But the way Leno compares to Carson, yeah, probably. And I think the only difference with Sam, and I've said this to him, but I'm okay with it, is he's not as deeply narcissistic about his career as those other people are. You know, if push comes to shove, he's gonna pick his wife and his baby. And I'm not so sure about a lot of these other people, if that were the case. And that's, you know, later in life, they change and they go, oh my God, what was I thinking? Hopefully they grow. Some of them never do. But in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, you're in that hunt. And he's in the hunt, but he's not
vicious like that.
He's not as, or at least hyper-focused. And, but you know what? If that limits his success a little bit, fine. Fine. You know, 50%, 25% of Howard, that's fine. 10% of Howard's career.
So, Kev, how do you find, how does he do it? Or how do you find that balance?
How does he do it?
I think she means, like, how does one do it? Like,
well,
not
first
just
of all, when you're in your early, I mean, he's lucky he met somebody, he met the right person who knew it's all about Team Sam.
Shout out to Jess.
Jess was like, Sam's got the hot hand. So we got to get behind the star. Marie and me. I could have said, oh, no. I'm a former head writer of a network. I am, you know, I'm supposed to be out there doing it. And, you know, Maria, like, you do you, I'll do me. And, hey, you got to pull your weight around the house here. You got to clean, do laundry, take care of the dogs, whatever. You know what I mean? It could have been like that, but I'm like, no. Right now, Maria has the hot hand, and I got to get behind Maria. And Jess was like, Sam's the man. I got to get behind Sam. So they're very blessed in that way, where they're a team. You know, and if that's not the case and you're Sam, then don't have a partner. Just don't, because it's going to be a disaster. Because all the partners I had before Maria were not like Jess, and that's why it was disastrous. And that's
what I'm
tough.
Finding.
What's that?
Is that it's so hard to know if somebody is ride or die until they're not.
Yeah.
You know, like. It worked with Sam and Jess, so luckily, but what if years in, she wasn't that person anymore, you know?
I don't know, but again, there's the Jewish pragmatism killing us, Fox.
I know, fuck my life. But obviously I wasn't pragmatic enough, so I'm trying to, for my future, Fox, and for the people there that are like me, it's
you're
like,
on,
how do you know?
You're on your journey, and yours is a different situation because you were both on the grind and on the hunt. There wasn't necessarily a hot hand to get behind, and you were both working together.
Right.
Your guy just got Stugatz. He got, you know, he got like a, you know, as I say, a guy in his late 20s, no fault. But, you know, you guys, how many times will you hear me say boy in his 20s? And remember, I'm saying boy in his 20s based on the philosophy of my generation. It's
right.
now going,
like,
to be
boy
in his
30s.
Oh, easy.
Ugh.
It's not going to be 40 till most guys grow up. And then Hollywood, it takes a lot longer to grow up out here, you know.
I just Hollywood. Wonder how you know. How do you know when you, everybody I think has wondered that they're.
Know for, what? I don't think you all, do know. It's like you got to roll the dice. You have to try. But again, if someone wakes up and changes, there's no planning for that. But you know if someone is gonna is hurtful of your career and making it all about them.
Right.
Or jealous of your career. That's what I'm talking about right now. Like Jess could have been like, oh, no. You're not going on weekends and doing wrestling. You're staying here with me. But she's like, no, you go, honey, and I got it.
I'll hold it down, yeah.
I'm holding it down. And his parents, same way. Everybody's on board. And I was, and Maria's parents and me, we were on board for Maria. Everyone was Team Maria. And you know what? We needed to be. We don't deserve gold stars. She was LeBron. She had the hot hand.
Yeah.
And now, you know, she's disabled. And so now they had to go to the bench and get the old timer off the bench. Drew Bledsoe.
Love a good Drew Bledsoe.
Who would have known? Drew had a couple of good years left in him. But that's all part of it now. Now it's like, all right, honey, I've been resting for 20 years. I'm ready. Let me go. And it's going to last 10 minutes because the minute I get out there and start doing it, Like, she's having fun now playing Little Housewife, and it's cute. Like, I went to CVS and stood in line and got my prescription. And then I went and, you know, and I went to Whole Foods and I shopped. And it was just amazing. Like, she's feeling like a human. She's never had time to do any of that stuff. And that's weird that she's like, no, I'll feed Max. I'm like, what? Did you just say what? Like, she's really trying to help. And I'm sleeping less than I ever have. And it's catching up to me emotionally, not physically.
Why are you sleeping so much less?
Well, Benny is 17 and a half, and he has to potty in the middle of the night, and he can't really see and he can't really hear. So he communicates. He'll start licking me, or he'll shake his head and stand up, and I know. And so rather than him being a kennel or, you know, where he, you know, defecates on himself or, you know what I mean? So I take him down, and we go, and we bring him back up. The Maximus is just a knucklehead. So when I wake up with Benny, he's like, what's up? What? You know, he's got that.
Yeah.
He's a guard dog, but he's also Captain FOMO.
Yeah.
So he thinks he's missing out on something. So now I got him, like, lumbering through the house. Anyway. Yeah, once again. We just jumped all over the board. But I was saying to Sam, I said, you know, it's amazing he came out of that toxic environment.
Yeah.
The way he did. And I'm sure it's affected him where he's a little colder. But as he's getting older, and I think being a dad, he warms up more and more, and he's much more emotional. Even the way he reacted to the United Airlines story about the dog being suffocated, he was just up in arms about
it. That fucking story was
unbelievable. You know, how are you not the CEO of United and say, we have some things to address with customer service, and we are going to. And then you say, guys, mandatory 1 day of customer service training, and you're all going to have to adhere to it, okay? And you know, like, God, you see me at AfterBuzz. Some of you, we're making changes. Some of you are going to be on board, and it's going to go great. And, oh, my God, please take that picture down. I'm sorry, guys. Oh, my God.
Sorry, Kevin.
As a dog owner, you can't. It's just so hard. Oh, my God.
I know. It's horrible.
You know, Roxy, this is the difference between a goy and a Jewish person or a Greek. There's no Greek or Jewish person who would have ever
put their dog up there,
taken that from. But so this brings my next thing, and
never.
I'll compliment you, Sam, and Maria. There's a show called The Push that Sam told me about on Netflix.
Never even heard of it.
Oh, my God. You guys, a BBC show, Michael Klaus, everybody, Bonjour Juliette, Roxy Stryer. This show is such a study in human behavior. Here's the premise. Can you concoct a situation to take a mark, a regular person, and by the end of it, convince them to push someone off a building? And it's a study on how so many of us are just conditioned to do what we're told. And they go through a series of experiments.
Yeah, it says The Push orchestrates events against a supposedly unwitting subject, pushing him into higher and higher pressure situations until he arrives at a clarifying event. Will he commit murder by pushing someone off a roof?
And as I'm watching it, guys, I'm like, with Maria, I'm like, so there's a bunch of different... They wear the person down, and there's a bunch of different times the person needs to go along and continues to just sell pieces of their soul and go along with lies and different moments. And as it's happening, I'm like, oh, my God, that's so me. Yeah, I'm going along with that. I'm going with that. And I also said, and you'd love to hear this, I go, Sam Roberts, Maria, Roxy, not going along with this. You guys are the ones like, no.
No.
And I'm like, super goy, like, super Catholic. Okay, whatever you say. Okay. Okay, yeah. Oh, well, if I do this, what, no one's feelings will be hurt? Okay. Now, I know by the end I would not. No way. I know by the end. But I'm also, this is the 50-year-old me.
Yeah.
And I don't think when I was younger I would have either, because I would be thinking in my head is no matter what, there would be, there were too many witnesses, there would be trouble.
Right.
So I wouldn't for that reason. I don't know if I wouldn't for right or wrong, but the point is it's a study in most people, you know, are just taught to be sheep and fall in line. And when you, I will speak for the Catholicism religion of, it's so shame-based, and it's not a religion, guys, it's a culture. So I laugh because out here I'm like, when I meet people from a Catholic, right, they're like, no, no. Okay, let's peel some layers of the onions. Wait, well, actually my grandparents were, but my parents never really went to, you're Catholic by culture. Yeah. And I can only speak to my scam that was inflicted upon me. And listen, conversely, so many wonderful attributes come along with it because it's a very generous, giving, you know, you're sick, you want a Catholic, you want someone to clean up, you need a Catholic. There's things that are done well by the Catholics, but there is such shame basing to the point that you'll just do what you're told. And if a flight attendant says, a mean flight attendant says, put that up there, and you've got your baby next to you, and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to get thrown off the plane. All you've seen is videos of tasers, and I've got to land at this. What am I going to do? If I get bumped off this flight, I don't have the money for another flight. I'm not going to have a ride when I pay. And all that stuff's going through your head, and you fall in line. I just know if I were there at this age, because starting, as my mom said, when you hit 40, even as the Catholics, you start running out of F's to give. And at this age, and listen, here's another like awful thing to say, but when you get a little success in money over time, you get more like, no.
Fuck you.
Fuck you. And I will say that about myself. And I know there's no way out in hell. And if I were there, I would have said, listen, put the dog on my lap or put it under my seat. Fine. I don't want to fight with you. But I understand why the lady complied.
Do we understand why that was what the flight attendant thought was protocol?
No, I think honey, listen, now they're lying and saying she didn't know it was a dog. Bullshit. We're in this culture, we are in this culture of I'm going to win. Roxy, move that cup to the left. Now say no.
No, fuck
you. Need
you.
To move that cup to the left.
No.
And now you dig in more and I dig in more. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? We are in this messed up freaking culture. And you look online with these goddamn comments everyone's making. Everybody's digging the fuck in. Oh, I'm going to be right. I will die to be right. I will fucking kill that dog to be right. You will not my authority. I'm the flight attendant. I'm right. You will listen to me. It's unbelievable. And again, it's what our president puts out there, right? Sadly. By the way, I love how Stern handles him.
How come?
Well, a cynic would say Howard just doesn't want trouble with anybody right now. But I'd like to think that he plays him a little bit, like over the whole elephant thing. You know, Trump overturned now the elephant thing, meaning you can just kill elephants.
Right.
And you know that's a big no-no with Howard. So Howard is like, you know, Donald listens to me. And I, you know, I think enough people aren't saying, telling Donald how this is a bad thing. And I think he's like, no, Robin, listen to me. He listens to me. And I think he actually realizes that sweetly that Trump fears his power and would respect it and listen. But again, if you go at him like, fuck you, Trump, then Trump goes, well, yeah, well, my dick's bigger than yours, king of all media. I'm fucking king of the world, bitch.
Yeah.
But he goes at him in a different way. So very interesting. Yeah, you guys are bringing up how they sent a dog to Japan instead of Kansas. Listen.
United
did. But that, I know Maria's up in arms about that. That's an accident. That happens. Listen, especially in millennial culture. Like, that's going to happen. It's when it's sheer cruelty and arrogance and my cock is bigger than yours and shut the fuck up. You listen to me, bitch. Like, that's where I'm out. And the worst part is I had read, it was reported on Maria's show through Huffington Post that 18 of the 24 doggy deaths in the year during airline travel, 18 of them are United. So if you're a CEO, how you don't snap your people in line, like even at AfterBuzz, I've done it. Now, I've done it in a nice way, but I'm like, guys, we've got to raise the bar. Some of you are going to get with it. And the ones who get with it, our company's going to get better and you're going to feel better for it. And the ones who don't, you're out of here. So, Michael, go to sports. Dicka, for the 85 Bears. You know, I just saw the documentary. That's he took over the team and he goes, listen, good news is we're going to win a Super Bowl. Bad news is some of you guys just aren't going to want to follow the directions and the new plan. You're not going to want to put the work in. You're not going to want to adhere to the new rules and the new world order and how the changes we're going to make and all the crap you've been doing, the arrogance, the mistakes, that you, and you're going to go. And that's bad news for you guys. But for the people that buy in, it's going to be great news because we're going to win a Super Bowl. And that's what leadership is. And that's not going to happen because these fat cats are making their money. And clearly you're not good leaders because this is why this is happening anyway.
What? Well, I'm still stuck on that stat you just gave about the dogs, with that they have the most. How are dogs dying on the plane other than
being probably left under the cargo? I mean, just whatever.
Yeah, there's been a couple. I noticed that a timeline that I saw after the story broke, I think about a half dozen to a dozen incidents in the past year that United has been involved in. And they had the worst record last year for pet deaths.
Now, said this. Yeah, wow. Holy shit.
Can I tell you a company that, you know, by the way, as I'm thinking of this, United, who knows? They by saying we've got to work on customer service, maybe they think that's admitting a problem and then stocks go down. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I will say, flipping the switch on a positive note, and I know, Rox, you don't love when we talk wrestling, and I know it's not wise to talk wrestling without Sean X. Pac Waltman in studio. He's on the road now. But I feel that this is a mainstream story that you're going to super appreciate. And I commend the WWE for seeing the error of their ways and making a change. So Steve the Steamer, as you know,
who's in the chat right
he's
now,
one of my
by the way.
Oh, hello, Steve, who's one of my gurus and kind of keeps my train on the tracks. He alerted me that the Fabulous Moolah, so she was the – she would be known, Roxy, as the Babe Ruth of female wrestling.
Wow.
Bring up the Fabulous Moolah.
Moolah?
Moolah, M-O-O-L-A-H. And, you know, on the surface, you'd like to look at her as a groundbreaker, revolutionary.
Like what year are we talking?
We're talking like this lady, literally they said she had the title for, I think it was almost 50 years. Like maybe
what?
30 or 40. Yeah, she was there, like the woman's champion for maybe the 40s. Into like the 70s, maybe even the early 80s. And the historic match with our own Captain Lou represented her, and Sidney Lauper represented a lady by the name of Wendy Richter. Wendy Richter won the belt from her, and then in a controversial match, Moolah wins it back. But so
most
the
prominent title holder for 28 years.
28 years, so almost 30 years. So the WWE creates a battle royal for WrestleMania, and they call it the Fabulous Moolah Mania Battle Royal, or something like that. And next thing you know,
they did that now.
Now,
like, okay.
But here's the thing, and Steve alerted me to this. All these reports come out about how she, you know, used to pimp her women, her wrestlers out unknowingly to promoters.
Unknowingly, like the, she was
no,
doing
she,
it unknowingly?
She knowingly did it, but the women didn't know. It's not like the women were complicit.
Right.
You know? I had known the Hollywood end of it, meaning I knew she was somebody who held everybody's career down, so I hated her for that. And we see that in Hollywood all the time, Marie and I hate the people who do it. But making, like, the next level of, like, depravity, she would pimp out, you know, she to promoters her girls and put them in dangerous situations, make them have sex if they, you know, screw them out of their money, and I think even may have done it to her daughter. So think of this Me Too movement and all this bull, like, you know, and I was writing Steve
so
last
when
night.
Did this come out that this hot
so
you're talking
the
about
last
this
couple
year.
Of days a couple of days
wow
this all comes out And I wrote Steve, I go, you know what really sucks about her is she won in life. She died in 2007, I think. Okay. But died a millionaire, died being celebrated. You know, Rox, it's like it really sucks when they don't get theirs in the end.
Yeah.
But now.
Like she died thinking she had it made.
And
you're right, 2007.
And the cherry on the sundae, is she's win ends up winning in death too. She's like celebrated, and it's her big battle royal named after her. Well, get this, the fans go nuts, and smart, you know, people. It's so funny, the WWE fans are so smart, and everyone wants to call them misfits and thinks they're like a bunch of toothless like morons. Literally, the smartest fans, the sense of irony they have, the sense of humor they have. Even Maria, we'll be at matches. She goes, "What are they chanting?" And I'll like tell her, and she's like, "Oh my god, literally the funniest people, funniest crowd.
Wow.
They get it." So but getting it as they do, they don't just write the WWE. No, they write Snickers. Got to go after the money, Rocks.
Is that
Snickers,
who sponsors Snickers,
sponsoring Mania for like 30 years? They go after Snickers. And
wow.
Snickers is like, we really need to rethink this. They send out a public message. How's that for a nice knee to the balls? But this is why I love WWE and the great Stephanie McMahon. So Stephanie. So the WWE says, after further consideration, we believe it's best to proceed with the name WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal. What remains most important is that this historic match is part of WWE's unwavering commitment to the women's division. But then I will tell you what Stephanie says.
And they dropped Fabulous Moolah Moore.
Hell yeah, they did. Let's see. Here's Stephanie's
mean.
Tweet. Mean lady. Bad. Like,
you can
like,
see it in her face.
This is a woman that needed guy or girl to, I said to Steve, punch her square in the skull. Give her one shot. One, and not just one physical shot, one shot at life to fucking redeem herself. Let her feel it. Sorry to say that. But this is what Stephanie tweets out. Thank you at WWE Universe for using your voice. What remains most important is that the at WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal will be a historic match and is part of WWE's unwavering commitment to our women's division. Hashtag Women's Evolution. Hashtag Change the Name. So good for them as a company for going, you know what? We messed up.
You guys are right.
Goodbye. And now.
So do you think that company didn't know?
I think they probably. Yeah, I'm sure they knew, but it was like, you know.
How did it come out?
All the fans. And then what was great is mainstream media, like Forbes. I'm reading this came from Forbes magazine, this article, and this guy. But it got out there, the power of the press. And it's like, you know what? And it sucks that in life she did this and she got away with it. Until, you know, and basically went out, proverbially died with the title, so to speak.
Yeah.
But I am so glad.
Let's not let her keep winning.
No.
We already
exactly.
did that.
Good effing bye. And let her name be mud like it deserves to be. You know, and like, and it was a little hypocritical too, because Hulk, who had the racial things and the hysteria over his daughter, has been blackballed. And like literally they've taken him out of wrestling history. And I think that's going to go away. It's just going to take longer than it needs to, but I'm really happy that this was done.
Now, Kev, just playing the devil's advocate, do you think in the future that this will lead to more fans complaining, thinking that they can get their way?
No, WWE fans always complain. They're very vocal. They're very vocal, but they're smart. They went at Snickers. Smart. What fan base is that smart?
Yeah.
Will that hurt future advertisers, though?
No, because WWE did the right thing.
Yeah.
Did the right thing. Changed the flat tire. And PR-wise, smart. Don't dwell on it. Put the attention back on the positive. Women. We're here to support the women. Let's get back to it. Let's not make it. We are the ones moving in the right direction. The past was the wrong direction. But where you have... Here's the thing. There are so many things done in the past that it's like, hey, that was the behavior of the past. You know, Rox, it was, hey, toots. It was, oh, God, look at Roxy's ass. There was a time where behavior was different, beliefs were different, and we can't judge people by that. But rape is still rape. Pimping is still pimping. Drilling holes through walls to stare at somebody like Linda Carter as Wonder Woman. There's still right and wrong.
There's gray, but there's black and white.
That's right. And so anyway, and like I said, I commend them for that. Well, you know, before we get to the news, and everyone here is excited about the party I'm throwing at Michael Klaus's house.
Yeah, I love it.
my St. Patrick's Day party I'm throwing at Michael Klaus's house. I'm very excited.
Can't wait.
Mike, if you do, not a lot of people, but enough people, I'm like, hey, so are you guys going to Michael Klaus? Oh, really? Are we invited? Oh, yeah.
The one and only Abby Vega said that you reached out to her today.
Yep. Abby and I reached out to Lauren LaGrasso, who will have an update on Lauren. Some really amazing stuff's happened with Lauren. She's going to come in and tell us.
Oh, she is?
She is. So who else did I reach out to? I reached out to Christian Blatt, and he's celebrating Chinese New Year, but he's like, damn, I want to try to get out of it. Because everyone's curious at what happened.
Why is Chinese New Year on St. Patrick's Day?
I don't know. He got fucked.
They fucked up.
So fucked up.
But wow, everyone's curious. Irish and the Chinese going at it.
I don't know.
If I'm right, Chinese New Year was in the middle of February. Yeah. I know it's celebrated.
Wow,
for,
that's a weird excuse for him
for
to give
you.
I don't know. Listen, I just want to have fun. But he had said that. No, he wants to go. Everyone's curious at what happens at a Christian house. Not knowing. And even Ashley's like, Kevin, we should hire Michael, a stripper. It'll just stop the whole party. I'm like, Ashley, you guys just live on another planet. It's good-looking guys in their late 20s in a house. I don't give a shit if they believe in Buddha, if they believe in Christ, Krishna, David Koresh. It doesn't matter. Good-looking guys in their late 20s in a house. There's going to be nothing but what?
Pussy!
Stop the madness!
I need somebody to take my mind off things, though.
A stripper's going to walk in there and people are going to go, who is she? Why is she here? This like, or it's going to be great. Let's get her drinks.
Kev, why can't we get one man, one woman?
You're going to have tons of guys there. There's like nine of them.
There'll be tons of girls there.
And tons of guys.
Will they be naked?
Huh? Will they be naked?
Again, that's what the stripper's for.
The stripper, but even the stripper, it's going to be weird. It's not the effect you want. You want the stripper to work the next event at Pastor Rick's where they have punch and cookies in the basement. Then you bring the stripper.
That's a good point.
Listen, you bring
a stripper there, it's going to be like, it's L.A. There's going to be nothing but stripper look-alike women
you
and stripper
right.
looking like guys.
I am being stupid.
But everyone
right.
is just being like, oh, my, I want to see what Michael's buying with you. It's kegs. Like, what are you talking about? Put it, make a man crazy.
Yeah.
And
apparently.
Michael is not above the Buddha. Here's the
Michael,
thing.
Is there any amount of money that we could pay you to make out with a dude?
No, I was wondering where this sentence was going.
So was I.
Same.
And it did not go the way I was
any
expecting.
Any amount of money.
And the answer is no.
$10 million.
No.
Done.
Kevin, how much would I have
Done.
To pay you? 100,000? Easy.
No, not 100,000 because I am a man of means. I've thought this through
okay.
often. Oh, to make out.
I'm not talking about taking it.
Oh, yeah.
Booty.
No, cash.
Cash
and I don't have to declare?
No.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Suck
right?
in face.
And I don't 100%. Have to declare.
100%. I've also said, as far as taking it in the ass.
Couple mil?
No. 500 maybe.
Oh, good.
But I get to drug up. They have to wear protection.
Yes.
And I stare at the cash in the briefcase.
Does it matter what he looks like to you at all?
Nope. Nope. Stick it right in.
No
Who
difference.
Gives a fuck?
Price doesn't go up or down.
Here's the thing. When you've lived long enough and you're a carny for 10 years and you've had a grind for money and the shit poor Maria's dealt with these motherfuckers in the city who are all lucky they're alive. Sorry.
Not sorry.
Not sorry. Yeah, I am not sorry. And some of you I will see at an event. And good luck to you. As I keep telling my business managers, what am I worth? Do we have to tell you again? Yes, what am I worth? $1. Thank you. Just remember. Never mind. I'll be nice. Let's go. If as long as it's safe, no. I'm all about getting paid, player. Those days are over. Hmm. Done. But here's the thing. That's going negotiations.
I think it's smart, too.
Let's get that number up. No, let's get it up to a mil. No,
yeah,
that's
why not? I just can't believe there's no amount of money.
No, but when I was in my 20s, no, I would be like Mike at 28.
No amount? To make out.
I don't know. To make out, maybe. I don't know. If 10 mil, God, you threw a huge number out there.
And he said no.
I would grab him from the side and say, hey, dumbass.
Think about what you could do for the church.
Exactly. I would be like, Mike, we worked this out. 10 million, shut the fuck up. Please.
Does it help if there's not much tongue?
Oh.
I would, please, I'd dance, I'd be serenaded, I would dip the person.
Me too.
Fuck, give him a hickey.
Here's the thing.
Take a
with
hickey.
With all of these questions, the answer is always no until the money actually is shown.
That's right.
So that way there's plausible
but
deniability.
But if the money is shown. Uh-huh.
Show me the money.
Uh-huh.
I'm all about making that paper and chasing that what?
You think pussy. Would that be an interesting show, Kev?
What's that?
Like how much you would do it for and have people do shit for money?
Yeah. The thing is, they've done similar shows like that. The thing is, you got to bankroll it.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, today they're all about making cheap shows. You have to be able to bankroll
Maybe it's cheaper, like $1,000 to lick the dirty floor.
Yeah, and you'd get that. And remember, though, people want to be on TV.
Yeah.
So they'll be the crazy guy or the crazy girl just for TV time. So it's kind of hard.
Yeah, shit.
You know,
work on it.
We'll be reporting in on Monday on Michael's soiree. I'm very excited. Michael, I will be Ubering there. I'm planning on having my stomach pumped. I'm really tired.
Well, then you'll just be one behind me.
Yep. Me and Roxy will be taken to the hospital that night.
Yep. Thank you.
And I know Maria hasn't said so, but I know she's so excited for the after party to take place here.
In the Taffer Bar.
Taffer Bar, which I can switch all the lights over to green.
Cool.
Which will be nice, you know. Too bad, Mike, we couldn't have a pregame. Maybe a pregame here. Rox, can you? Rox, you're too weak right now.
Yeah.
Scamulet.
I'm always down for
you,
a pregame.
Yeah, but can you organize it? Are you
too weak
too
to
Gen
organize,
Z?
But can show up.
Absolutely.
I can show up.
We'll get you there. Should we pregame here, Scamulet, or no?
Kev, your place is too cool that literally if people pregame here, then
no,
they want to leave.
No, no, but it's the small. No. I'll get everyone there, Mike. Don't worry. No, everyone wants to go to the Christian house. Everyone wants to go be with the Gap kids.
Kevin made it a thing. Because I'll be honest, I was like, I don't know if I can.
Mike, I put it over.
Yeah,
I think.
You,
no,
Mike, it was.
Michael, I didn't know if I
Mike,
could.
Sometimes you need the endorsement.
Yeah.
You needed, you know.
Kevin's like, it's the cool thing to do. I'm like, oh, well, then
I had to throw my support. I'm like, no, I'm totally backing
You're
the Michael
Jew,
Clubs.
Kev.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You're my Jew.
Hell yeah.
I feel like you made it a thing.
I like the idea. Scamulet, can you put together the pregame here or no?
I could put it together.
Like
I honestly still
pregame.
Haven't decided if I'm coming or
what?
Not.
What are Wait, you talking about? Why would mean? You say that?
What's the alternative?
What is wrong with you? No,
Wait,
Julia.
What do hot young people do in L.A.?
Yeah, where are you going, Julia?
Where are you going?
I don't. One of my best friends from home has been visiting me all week, so there's lots of sightseeing involved.
Oh, yeah, because he's not invited for sure. Michael won't let you bring
a
plus one.
Yeah, no, there's a strict non-plus one thing, Julia.
No French people.
Oh, it's the guy, right?
Yeah.
Hey, is he straight?
Yes.
And you got like he just stays with you,
yeah.
And your man's okay with that?
Apparently, yeah. Okay. No, he's fine with it.
Cool. Just
different,
checking.
Different scam.
Yeah, different scam.
Different scam. Different.
I'd be okay with that too. I'm that kind of person. Also, I just realized I hadn't asked you about that.
Come on, look what Maria puts up with.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's true.
Anyway, we will report on Michael's party. Very exciting. I had a nice moment. There's a show on A&E called Born This Way. And Abby Chevy Vega from The Tomorrow Show is actually a producer on the show. And
she's fucking killing it.
Killing it, bitches.
Bitches.
And it's kids with Down syndrome and developmental disabilities who are...
Adults with
Down syndrome, who are kind of on their journey in life. And one of the girls, Megan, had mentioned, I think she wanted to... She wrote down a bunch of jobs she wanted to try to pursue this season. I think one of them was in broadcasting. And so Abby said, would you mentor her?
Well, she had a very, very successful YouTube video that went out.
That's
called
right.
Don't Limit Me.
Megan Bombar.
And then Megan. She got a lot of notoriety for that. And she liked that. And she liked giving hope and inspiration to people. So I think that's why broadcast came up. It was like... just seemed like the next step in the evolution of YouTube videos, helping people, that kind of thing. So I think that's where she got it from.
By the way, the great Ray Lynn, Scam Lynn, 2 phone calls from her, I think probably trying to verify to go to the St. Paddy's Day party, Michael.
Oh, she already said she's coming.
Just now she called you twice?
Yeah, I've got at 8 o'clock. I don't
that's
know,
so maybe, weird. Maybe it's not like she knows that you do the Tomorrow Show.
Yeah, but she's Gen Z.
Call
they
out.
Live in their own scam. It doesn't. None of that matters.
It's just like, would either of you guys ever not be here and then call Kevin on a Thursday night at 8:20 p.m.?
Hey, bitches, checking in.
Love picked up.
So what was Megan's
you
video?
You should have fucking picked up.
Megan's video.
Call her back.
Born This Way. Oh, I can call her back.
Oh, for sure. Definitely.
Yeah. So
can
born
you guys
this
call
way
her from the booth or no?
We can figure it out. But if you put her on speaker, put it close to your mic, we'll be good.
Okay. So Born This Way. So it's Don't Limit Me, Megan's viral video. And calling Ray Lynn right now.
Scam Lynn.
And they asked me to mentor her, and I said, listen, I don't need cameras. I'm happy to help the girl. They had cameras, and
you hooked it up for your girl, Rox. That's me, by the way.
Yeah, so I knew Roxy was a little down in the dumps, so I had to answer from Scamlin, but I'll keep my phone on. There's Megan and her mom, the first two pictures. So her mom,
by the
Chris,
way, her mom's a dime
beautiful
piece
lady. And very sweet.
So kind. Megan's
and,
so cool.
And so I was talking to them about broadcasting, my first meeting with them. And then I started getting frustrated because I'm like, okay, I know how reality shows go. I'm supposed to play along and say, you're a producer. Okay, I can make you, I'll have you on the red carpet. I can have you do an after show with us. And I immediately was like, listen, let me get in touch with A&E and you can actually do the Born This Way after show. You'll host it. It's great, but I could tell, you could see here's a single mom, and like most people in that situation, I have a few friends who are in this boat, and the one thing they're most afraid of is how are they going to support this child, and what happens when they get old,
right,
and pass on. And
they
it's
have
really
to make enough money so that they know
it's really
that
scary, yeah, for the rest of their life. And so I had heard that they did a t-shirt line, you know, small little thing, little t-shirt business. And I just whispered to the mom and said, listen, I know I have to go along with the whole, let's get her doing after shows and let's teach her how to produce and be like that. And that's fine. But do you really want help? And, you know, as a Bostonian, we never go halfway.
No.
We're insane. We have to go all the way. And so I said, well, if I'm really being honest and want to help you, you know, we just got to find out how to make you guys some money. And, you know, any time in life you can make residual income, that's money while you sleep. That's the thing that we should all be seeking.
Yeah. You've always said that to me.
So we have this Emmy-winning show. You're on A&E. We've got this fame, and while we have it, we need to exploit it. And I've tried to set some of these deals up for Taffer, too. I'm always telling John Taffer at Bar Rescue, John, the value is not just in what you're getting paid on Bar Rescue. The value is that this is one of Paramount's number one shows. It's repeated all the time. So what you want to do is own some product that you're selling on that show. And so now he's pushing his book, and his book's number one on Amazon. Congratulations, John.
That's awesome.
But it's being pushed now every week. But I'm like, John, it doesn't stop there. There's uniforms, there's other things. So it's the same with these guys. And when they came in last week, yes, shout out to Roxy. I knew Roxy is going through a spell.
Yeah, shout out to Kevin.
Spell. You stepped in and did it. You could have fought me. People do.
Not at this point.
Yeah, but you know, you might have said, listen, I'm not ready for this. I can't do it. I'm not feeling good. And I knew we had to get the dopamine back into your brain that's been taken out. That's all the little happy messages that go to your brain. And when you're heartbroken, your brain gets depleted of that. So one of the things you do to try to get over heartache is we got to get those back in there. And so I knew if you could be on TV. So I said, listen, Roxy's great with the host. I don't usually deal with the host. This I told them. And I said, let Roxy, you know, mic her and let her handle it. And so you were on camera and you were great with her. And I was watching on the monitor. It was fantastic. But when it was over, I said, okay, now can we really talk? And so I talked to Chris, the mother, to Megan's mom, and I said, listen, my mentor and friend, and I've mentioned him on the show before, Andrew Lee, who owns Jerry Lee Clothing, owns Dickies, owns several other brands, and it's just...
What do you think, like 50,000?
He's got probably about 62 grand in the bank. Maybe 63?
Maybe, on a good day.
Yeah, I know he withdrew like $600 to buy an iPad last week.
Oh, wow.
So it went down.
Wow, yeah.
Anyway, it's so funny. You know what he calls himself? So I have one friend, my
Jewish?
Other friend, Steven, he actually doesn't. Oh. He's a lot of goy in him.
Wow.
It's definitely like he's
50-50.
Yeah. He's just, that's why he's amazing, because he's everything. He's not, you know, goy or Jewish. He's just Andrew Lee. So I, it's so funny because Stephen Berman, who's his friend, mm-hmm. who owns Jack Specific Toys and, you know, Pinkberry and all these other brands, it's great to see them together. But he refers to Andrew as Arthur from the movie Arthur, who's this like very wealthy drunk driving around in his little golf cart. You know, he thinks of Andrew as that because Andrew likes his drinks and he likes to have fun. But Andrew's employees think of him as the Willy Wonka of clothing.
Huh.
Which I think is more accurate. So he brings us, we finally get to meet with him. I'm like, Andrew, please, will you just meet with this mom and her? He's like, Kevin, of course. He goes, but I don't want the cameras. I'm shy. I hate me on camera. I'll bring him over and let me just advise him. So Andrew's so busy. I'm like, Andrew, please just, you know, just your advice. That's all we need for her, you know, t-shirt line with this message, don't limit me. And her t-shirts have this special ice tie-dye process. And I said, listen, guys, it's not about the process. It's about her message. So that was my advice. But
why did they care about the process so much?
I think new to business.
Okay.
Thinking you need all those gimmicks and stuff, and you don't. I'm like, you're working way too hard, you know, and your job is to create, you know, the message and promote. And someone else, we need to get the manufacturing, because like literally it'd be like them and their family in their apartment making hundreds of these shirts. And it's killing them. It's killing them financially. It's killing them physically. So Andrew was like, of course, Kevin, I will meet with them. He's like, but I only have like a half hour. So I called Chris and Megan. She's like, they're like, we're supposed to film today. I'm like, be late for filming. I'll handle A&E. I'm like, I'll handle them. Don't worry. Just please, just come up here, you know? Okay. And I felt sad because Megan was limping and the mother looked at me. Chris said, she's got arthritis. And she just gave me this look like, is this going to end? You know,
she hurt her foot the other day too. She was telling me she
hurt
her.
I think it's arthritis. Oh. Well, it is. That's what they found, is some arthritis. Wow. And the mother looked at me like so tired. And it's like, you know, a single mom handling this. And she's like, you know, it's like, and you know, she said to me, you know, I see other moms who have kids in wheelchairs or whatever. And she's like, and we all look at each other and we make eye contact and we look at each other and go, I understand.
Yeah.
We know.
Because we can't fucking know.
No.
We can't fucking know.
Like, God damn it, I got to come through for these people. So we go into the place, and there's Andrew. Hey, just like Willy Wonka. Like, what, you know, this huge company takes them on a tour. So sweet with the mother, so sweet and patient with Megan. And he's like, yeah, I've done all the research on your product. Oh, you brought me samples. Great. Well, let me show you some of my stuff. So we're looking at stuff with Dickies and his other clothing line, David Lerner, which is fabulous.
Which is fucking gorgeous.
And of course, he's like, take this, take that. And, oh, now he's into costumes, but his costumes are not the cheap Halloween costumes you throw away. They're actually like you wear them year round. Like, I can't even believe the outfits. He just did a deal with Warner Brothers, so he has all their characters now. Crazy.
I'm coming next time. You can't stop me.
No, so he loves you anyway. Come on. He loves you. So he's giving them all these goodies, which was beautiful. And then they sat, and he was like, you know, I feel like, he said, you know, Hello Kitty? And Megan was like, yeah, I know Hello Kitty. And the mom knew Hello. He's like, Hello Kitty doesn't speak. He's like, I think Megan's message, or Megan could be the voice for Hello Kitty. He's like, let's get the head of Hello Kitty and let's get the head of Macy's together. And like, the mother's like, oh my effing God. And
he knows these people, obviously.
Yeah, no, because he works with Target and Walmart, and you know. And do we have the picture of us? I said, let's take a photo of us where this was the beginning of history, and it was just a great feeling because they walked out excited. I walked. There we are. I walked out so happy. And today we actually set the meeting with all the parties, and now A&E's coming with cameras, so we documented, and let's just see. And I said, listen, guys, if I'll get involved with the Razzle Dazzle. I go, let's walk out with this product on Shark Tank. Let's see the sharks. Let's see if they have the balls to fuck with a girl with Down syndrome and a single mother. But anyway, yeah, it was nice. And it was just a nice little victory.
Damn.
For, you know, just one. We have a long way to go, but it was nice. And made me feel real good. So You know, more good scams. And you know,
fucking love
and
that.
Then I went and cashed my check for 10% good karma, Michael. And I continued.
Has it come back to you yet or no?
Hell yeah, look at us right now. It's Thursday night. We're in Star Trek costumes drinking. Come on. Like, I'm not winning. All right, quickly, my goys and Jews, let's do, Michael, can we do a little bit of news?
Oh, Kev, we can always do a little bit of news.
Hello.
Just the tip, just to see if it feels
just
good.
Just the tip. Oh, you know, Rox,
I got.
I would be satisfied with the tip.
I think right now as long I'd be as satisfied I can, with the tip as well.
As long as, yeah, but as long as I can get a hand release or something later.
Yeah.
Also okay with masturbating as long as they say it's like you masturbate and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
just,
cool.
You can't just do it into the plant.
It's just hard for the blue balls. Like, that's what stinks. Anyway, Michael, go ahead.
Well, the biggest story of the week comes from across the country. Over 1 million students walked out of their schools for 17 minutes yesterday. This is obviously
not enough
to the Florida shooting.
Not enough.
Not enough students?
No, not enough. 17
minutes.
Great. No.
Remember, Kev's is walkout sale.
I want the sit-up. No more school, everybody. That's what we need. But I'll tell you what was more powerful was that photo on the White House lawn of those, however, 7,000 pairs of sneakers representing all the deaths in schools.
I think it was more than 17,000.
7,000, I thought. I thought it was 7,000. I thought it was because I think there were 7,000 kids killed. And I'm like, hey, you know what? Now I go the other way, Rox, because clearly we haven't made the statement. 7,000. Let's get to 10.
Yeah.
Let's kill 10,000 kids. Let's do it. Let's get there. If we all work together and we can have more AK-45s out there on the market, maybe there's some Uzis. There's some. Got to be some other, like, good high-powered guns that can shoot multiple rounds where we can get that number up. So everyone, let's work together. Let's get that number up there. I know if we work together,
it's
look
like
at that.
So
look
fucked.
At that picture. You guys, every one of those shoes is a kid. What the fudge am I looking at? I don't want to be here anymore.
And not just one angle.
Look at that.
Thanks for that, Jewel.
How? How are you like a lawmaker? And do you, Roxy, what's wrong? Roxy, I have violence in me. Like,
I know.
So I understand wanting to shoot a gun. I get it. But how do you look at that?
I know.
But again, my dick's bigger than yours. You're not going to tell me. I'm going to triple down. I need my Uzi. I need my M16.
I think it's one of those things that until it's close enough to home, people just don't fucking change their minds.
You know what? That's so interesting. And, you know, it sucks because oftentimes you have to show, there's a saying, you got to show them the downside. We have to show them the other side of the bet, which sucks.
Which fucking
but
sucks.
Could you imagine if you started taking out some of the kids?
I know.
If you had one amazing assassin that started taking out the kids of the congressman, how fast this would change?
It would change so fast.
Maybe, or maybe it wouldn't. Maybe they would double down because they would still want their job.
I haven't heard of a single person who had a kid pass in one of these shootings who has not completely either doubled down on the fact that they need gun reform or changed their mind.
Well, but if you are, but here's the thing, Rox. If your check is dictated by the NRA or whatever, then you're going to, I don't know. So that's why lowering the bar doesn't work. We got to go after their wallet. Got to vote them out, or the people that that are sponsoring NRA. We got to do what the go back to the WWE. They went after Snickers. We got to, you know. But anyway, I don't know.
Can't stop staring at that picture.
Just, let's go to the next one, Mike. Yeah. Sorry.
No, you're fine. Speaking of staying on Capitol Hill and in the government, so it was something that Trump said this week, which kind of received some interesting, you know, reports from people, but it looks like something in the future maybe that we'll have to deal with. Trump hints at a possible space force, a military in space. Obviously, Trump is very strong on the military, but he mentioned a space force. How do you react?
I love it. Let's have a space force. I love it. And you know what? Why don't we build a Hall of Justice? And then you know what? Because just like in the Cold War, they said there were a lot of people who believed we allowed Russia to have a lot of power, Rox, Soviet Union, so that we could, right, so then we have to build a Legion of Doom.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's build a military space force, Mike, and then I want to build a Legion of Doom and a Hall of Justice. Is that possible?
It's all possible.
This guy is just the master of, you know what it is? It's funny. I heard this from a major businessman the other day, and it really made me sad. He said, when I do deals with people, oftentimes I will put the other party in a state of crisis.
So that they have to say yes.
So you knock their game off so bad that now they're weak and vulnerable. And I just, again, I went to the same thing as when I saw the shoes. I said, Maria, I don't want to be here. My mind is not wired. I can't fight. How do you fight these people?
How do you fight that?
Well, that's, and I swear, and now that I think about it, I really think that that is this guy. Disrupt. He's a disruptor. Disrupt in the worst way. Create crisis, controversy, conflict. And do you know what I mean? You never know where he's coming from. So that's why you can never get a clean shot in on him.
You can't get a clean shot and you can't get ahead. It's hard.
This is such a good use of our time and money, though. Come on.
The Space Force?
How do you say
well,
no.
I want a Legion of Doom and a Hall of Justice. Will you put up the picture of the Legion of Doom in the Hall of Justice? We can build that.
And you know what's
Do you even
happen?
Know what they look like, Rox? The old 70s
yeah, of course,
cartoon?
Of course. Of course.
God, I love we live in a world where a hot party girl like Roxy knows. There we go.
I am a party girl these days.
But the old party girl, but that we live. Oh, there we go. We can build that, you guys.
Couple mil.
Yeah, a couple mil. We build. So we need a Legion of Doom, and this is where they all meet. So it's like, you know, the members of the Legion of Doom, which we have so many, they meet here. Then the Hall of Justice, where I would think the Rock and other people would go, and they would be at the Hall of Justice.
Okay. Well, he's already been cast as Black Adam, so I don't know if we can use him. You want to use Cena?
Black Adam? What?
Yeah.
Why don't they make him the Chlorophyll Kid? That is
That's
a lame
a
superhero.
Point. Chlorophyll Kid would be great.
How do you really know the Chlorophyll Kid, or only because I brought it up
of the
that
show?
Remember, we
thought he was the Chloroform Kid.
So there's So there's Trump heading the Legion
episode.
Of Doom. See that? Look at that's a nice counter. We can, by the way, and you know, Adam Carolla, CarollaDrinks.com, you know, I feel like he leans a little bit toward it, and he's an amazing carbonate. Adam could build that easily. Adam could totally build that Kev, the interior of the Legion.
There's
studios.
Kristen Wiig, our new cheetah.
Yeah. But here, you know who I like? Giganta. You're right. I could build it, but I'm not as good as Adam. Adam's, like, way better.
25 hours, Kev, you'd had that thing looking fantastic.
All right, so maybe I will. All right, let's tell Donald that along with the Army, the Space Army, we'll build a Legion of Doom and a Hall of Justice. All right, what else we got?
We'll have Christian not. Blatt.
Stephen Hawking shit the bed, right?
Yeah, with Stephen Hawking. Someone who
finally
you know, a lot of people
bed.
Looked up to. He's age 76. He had an illness when he was younger, left him in a wheelchair. A lot of people didn't think that he would really survive
Still
past
got
a few
pit,
years
eh?
after 22 years, but lived for another 50, passed away, though, this week at his home in Cambridge. Now, he was really famed for his work with black holes and relativity, obviously a lot to do with space. And really, I think he really had an impact, I wouldn't say up until the last couple of years, though. I feel like I don't know a lot of Generation X and Z, or a lot of Generation Zs and Millennials know who he is. Do you think so?
Well, Kev, he has Roxy? One huge thing in common with us.
What?
You know what that is.
What? Star Trek?
Yeah.
Why? He liked it?
He was on it. Remember that episode with Stephen Hawking?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That one episode, he's around
right.
the poker table.
Yeah, he had to be on it.
Yeah, he was on it. I very much so know who Stephen Hawking is and am very aware of him. I think that probably my sister, who's 5 years younger, wouldn't. Jules, is this somebody who you knew who this was or no?
Yes, I knew who he was because I think he's made a lot of appearances in different things.
Yeah, like you've heard his name, but you didn't know exactly what he had done, maybe.
Right. And also there's a great movie that came out, I don't know when, about his like life story that was really
And your guy, Phil Svitek. Phil, I know, because he feels like he's probably in the genius camp with him. Phil was sad at the loss.
Yeah.
You know what? I could just hear the Boston people say, the old Boston people I know would say when they saw him.
What?
Poor prick.
There was an interesting story I was reading about him, something that he did that I didn't realize he did. He threw like an epic party. Did you guys read about this?
No.
So one time he threw this epic party like...
Before he was sick or during... Because I know when he was young, he was a massive party in college.
It was after he had gotten sick, but was still like dealing with... He was able to do some things. And he threw this huge, huge, massive party. And... he had all the most expensive booze and everything. And then the next day he sent out invitations at the day after the party. And he was like, if time travel exists then people will show up at my party, even though they don't get the invitations until the next day. And he said he waited all night, but nobody came.
Nobody came.
So it was a party for time travelers.
So all funny. That wasted booze, Kev.
We won't be wasting it at the Klaus House St. Patty's Day
not
party.
Not at all. Not at all.
Well, another Christians can drink.
Another person that I don't know if Gen Z would know about, simply because I feel like he's been really off the radar, but had an interesting piece this week, was Shia LaBeouf. And obviously a lot of
great
millennials
actor,
probably know him.
Silly man. Great
very,
actor.
Very talented actor, but he came out and talked a lot about his life, said that he's been a buffoon, that he struggles from PTSD, that he was diagnosed with that, that he sleeps with a gun. He talked a lot about his last year. I mean, in 2017 alone, he was sued for $5 million by a bartender. He was arrested for public intoxication in Georgia. He was ordered to rehab. Certainly has not had a great couple of years, but really opened up and said that he's now owning his past. And he's going to try to work on it.
It's great. Fantastic.
I think he needs, I think really he needs think, you in his life, Kevin.
I wish Mr. Backlund could just put people in chicken wings and tap them out. I think that would solve everything. It doesn't have to be. It's either two guys in baseball bats.
Just do it.
Oh, my God. Great actor, though, but just
so fucking talented. It's ridiculous.
But again, another one. And then he even pulled the white card. Like, he was like, I'm an overprivileged white guy, and the self-deprecation. Like, just stop. Will you? Can you just stop and appreciate that you were born with amazing talent in an amazing country, and you get tons of what?
Pathé.
And you have tons of money, and just stop and be grateful, and let's find you another script. Next.
Well, we can move on to another celebrity. Heather Locklear was arrested and charged with 4 counts of battery against responders. Now, this all goes back to an incident at the end of February that we did report on, but she had people come over. She had the kind of deputies come over to a house after it said that she kind of had an incident with her boyfriend, and now authorities are saying that she was, quote, extremely uncooperative and physically combative with the sheriff's deputies. And they found evidence that she had battered her boyfriend as well as the officers involved.
Tough. You know, Hollywood, you get so much attention, you know, and then it's gone. And I think it's just a mind screw. And I was actually having this talk. It's funny. I was out with a really high-powered attorney who's rather, actually is not as famous as this person should be because this person's such a gangster. This is the one everyone calls to get off, the real one. Not the press one, but the real one.
And, good person for you to know.
Oh, hell yeah. Thank God we know her. And anyway, so, but sweet, very nice lady. And we were talking, some of this came up about how hard it is on the women. And how do I say this without sounding crazy or offensive?
What? Say it and I'll try to help.
Okay. So I said to Maria, you know, I'm older than Maria, so I'm always trying to look out and be preemptive for her career and her life. And I'm like, Maria, you know, you get a ton of attention because you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. You are charismatic. You are fun. But you are
so
beautiful.
Stunning.
And I'm nervous for the day when you become older and you don't get that attention. You know, you have to be highly, highly evolved and maybe you can be that evolved, to be fine with the age and now no longer getting the attention. But I said, you know, if you look at Ellen or Oprah, they walk into rooms and they're getting every bit as much of attention, if not more, than the hot girl. And it's something I've been pushing on Maria for years, but I also push on our kids at AfterBuzz. I was like, this year, what did I say? I you know, I'm tired of you guys and girls, but especially the girls. Let's stop with trying to be little starlets and let's be what rocks. Let's be entrepreneurs. And let's get powerful that way, like Sofia Amoruso, Girl Boss, like Ariana Huffington. Let's become powerful for that. That will make us famous, okay? And we'll still be able to host and do other things, but we'll have independence, we'll have autonomy, and we'll get a different energy. We'll get the same energy from people, but based on that, which is more real and is something that's longer lasting. And so for the Heather Locklears, like we've seen this forever, you know, you're the center of the universe for everybody, then boom, it's just gone. And it's hard. So, you know, I wish her well. I mean, she was always nice to Maria. So, anyway, okay. people in the chat were talking Patriots and NFL free agency. So all I can say is, for some reason, you know how when you see in Facebook, it says people you may know?
Yeah.
Is it true that those people have been creeping on you?
I don't know. Ashley knows more about this shit than anybody.
Ashley Grace Daniels.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you guys know that in the booth?
I don't know. I haven't heard that specifically. I think they just look at maybe connections. They just continually want to just show you new stuff.
Well, I think maybe it's people who are looking at you, maybe people you have mutual friends with, maybe people you've looked
well,
at.
Well, the reason I say is because Jimmy Garoppolo ended up in my top of
Shut
people
up.
You may know.
Really?
Really?
Interesting. Jimmy G, Jimmy the Guinea. Okay, so tell me
like,
what's...
His like actual Facebook
Yeah, name? Yeah, his real deal. So tell me what's the scam with the...
Well,
I'm not following this.
Danny Amendola is gone.
Oh, geez.
He signed with the Dolphins today. And then the cornerback, I forget the name of him.
Jason McCourty.
No, the cornerback
that we got. Oh,
who was sitting for the Super Bowl, who they sat for the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. What's his name? The hero from the Super Bowl we saw, Roxy.
He signed a five-year deal.
You're saying
not with the Patriots.
That was God. I'm having a brain freeze, guys. I'm sorry. Yeah, he got benched on the Super Bowl day, and who have we signed?
You haven't really signed anyone.
Okay.
Oh, the guy that we benched.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and everybody was pissed about it. His name is
I'm trying to find it.
Anyway, listen, Butler.
Malcolm Butler.
All right.
Yeah,
you
want to
know what
Christ.
I think? Past performance is the best indicator of future performance. And this team just has a way of finding, we joke, every Sunday we watch, we're like, did they find this guy at the 99? And if you're from Boston, you know the 99 is a local chain.
Yeah.
I'm like, this guy was down the 99. Like, who is this guy?
Instead of giving you bread, they give you popcorn.
And all I can say is all the people that have left have gone on to be okay, like Tlaib. There's been a couple that have gone. But for the most part, you know, they've done okay, and we wish them well. And they've got their rings and their championships, and now it's time for their paydays, and good for them. But, you know, you can only go by what happens in the past. They always figure it out.
Yeah.
The system is amazing. Yeah. It really, the biggest thing is Big Bill. I'll be nervous when Big Bill goes to San Fran, God forbid, or something like that. Then I'm going to be nervous. And you wonder if they didn't make such a big play with Josh McDaniels to keep him, hoping that if they lost Big Bill, they'd have something. So I don't know. But that's when I'll be nervous. Because I still think the star of the team, I thought Tom, is the star is Belichick.
Did you guys see the picture this week? Brady shared for the first time the cut that was
in
his hand.
Yeah, I saw that.
Wow. So anyway, listen, it's sad these people leave, but I believe Edelman will be back. I think Cooks is so underrated. I feel like his injury cost him the Super Bowl. I really do. At the beginning of the game, they'll be fine. Don't worry, people. We'll be fine.
It's so interesting about Butler because, remember, there was all those theories about why he was benched and if he had pot or what was going on.
Who knows? But the thing is, you can't...
If you're not going to use him, you got to give him away.
Well,
you got to trade him.
Well, again, what got them there is that system of like, hey, you know, if you're doing something wrong...
We need good kids.
If you're doing something wrong, then you know what? This is what happens. I mean, remember that one running back, Mike, that was running for like 280... He ran for 280 yards one week... But then he didn't.
Yep.
Something went wrong behind the scenes. No one knows. And then all of a sudden they benched him. And that was it. And, you know, I never really was seen or heard from again. I mean, so only thing I know from inside people is that the one thing that I got out of Belichick at some event we were at, and he had told this to the president of AOL, who happened to be a friend of ours, so he confided in us, but he has the guys watch a lot of videotape. And half of it is to take in the info on the video, but the other half is he's watching them watch the video. Who is texting their girlfriends? Who's, you know, who's yawning? Who's not paying attention? And so he's got all these little things, so you never know. But it's worked thus far. I mean, unprecedented 20-year run. I mean, you know. And all I hope for is someday... Belichick, who's so quiet, is that he would share.
How he.
Yeah. Because I think there's so much valuable information there, not just for coaching, I think for all business.
For life.
Yeah.
For life.
And listen, I think the Crafts are also very, very special owners. Very smart.
Well, he could just videotape everything that he's shown, right?
Who's that?
Belichick. So.
Oh, you mean because he's the cheating thing?
Funny.
Oh God, you don't really buy. I mean, come on. It's so funny when, like,
he
haters.
He doesn't think that Brady's the best quarterback of all time.
We talked about that.
He does buy this. I know.
But that's more of a plausible argument than Bill. I mean, Bill Belichick.
No, Bill Belichick is a genius with the
way. By the way, I'm sorry. Of all sports, not just football, of all sports and of all time, for modern day, there's nobody who's done this. And all those moving parts. It's,
I mean, you could maybe make an argument for, like, Red Auerbach or or Wooden.
Okay, but here's the thing with Red and with Wooden. You've got to remember there were less teams.
True.
The game was different. You know, and I'm a huge Red fan, and it was amazing. But remember, like, again, Bill Russell, so underrated. You know, 9 out of 9 titles out of 11 years playing, and then in college. Is every college year he won. So, but again, there was like, what, 8 teams in the NBA? I mean, you know, so you just, again, it's almost like what baseball's done where you have the old and the new. So in the old world, yeah, you have, you got Red, you've got, what's his name from Green Bay?
Rodgers?
No, the old coach of Green Bay, historic.
Lombardi,
of course. So for that era, yes, but modern era, no, there's nobody better than this guy. And like I said, I just hope someday he would share. And think of how copied and emulated. I mean, even to the point, how many teams are announced individually at the Super Bowl, Michael, now? They all are announced as a team. That was started by the Patriots. Just that little thing, those little decisions. You know?
Well, it really is like that. I don't even know if it's something you can teach, Kevin. I mean, it's something maybe you can teach by being in person, but you can't teach that in a book.
You can teach it. I told you, listen, remember that book I told you guys, and I still have to find it so I can have you guys read it, but remember they took 100, I said there's a study where they took 100 people who never drew in their lives. They had them draw self-portraits.
Yes.
They all looked horrible. Everyone got the same training. By the end, like 97 out of 100 looked like the most professional artists. It can be taught. And, you know, whether he's willing to share that or not, it'd be sad if he didn't. But I absolutely think it can be taught because we see it. I think that Philadelphia coached just a little bit better. But I think that's the Patriots who brought that out in everybody. And it's about those micro, you know, those coaches, they just, the best ones, Mike, micromanage everything.
True.
I just love even Doc Rivers when he took over the Clippers. You know, his first move, he walks out there and he's like, "Wait,
banners.
Why are we looking at all the Lakers championship banners?" Like, well, you know, it's Jerry Buss owns the stadium, and that's it. That's how it's always been. It's not anymore. Black them out. Oh, we can't black them out, or we're gonna have a problem. They black them out. It's like, I don't want my guys looking up and seeing another team's championships. So, you know, I've even known certain coaches who micromanage the cheerleaders. And I don't mind that. Because it's every little extra inch. Every what rocks do we fight for?
Every inch.
Every inch. Oh, my God. I'm already excited for Michael's party. Now, Mike, I don't have any good green.
He said green. That it was okay in the message. He said nobody would pinch anybody or that they would get burned alive. Something like
what does that,
that
mean?
I said people would be roasted. The verbal kind, not the fire kind.
Oh, if you don't,
I read fire.
If you don't wear green.
No, he's saying if you, because you know how people pinch people who aren't wearing green.
Oh.
He was saying you can't be that person who pinches somebody. It's okay if you don't wear green.
I got a Celtic tat. I'll wear.
That being said, yeah, do something green. Whether it's like green on a pen or marker of green, or like a green band. You've got to have like a Celtics green sweatband or something. Something green.
Do green eyes count? Or
green
no?
Eyes or no, but
what about
green
like,
eye shadow.
Okay, but what if it was I go in like a bachelorette party and I wear like a bridal veil with a green dildo?
Yes,
I'm all
yes.
In.
Right? Like that could be one of them.
How much could we pay Michael to suck it?
There's no amount of money.
That's no amount.
Now, Mike, I generally don't like to go to Goy events with guys in their 20s without head of security Joe Gear. Am I okay?
Oh.
I don't have to worry about those days,
no.
Right?
No, you're good to go, Kev.
I don't need, like, some 20-something coming up and,
Kev,
you know.
We just have a Bible on the front step. Nothing ever bad happens.
I love that. Because, Roxy Stryer, you may not want to hear this. I got one good one left in me.
This is it?
One good fight left in me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm all done.
I'm trying to pull up
retired.
A picture right now of me with a dildo on my head. Oh, I found it.
Oh, good.
But it's not pink. It's not green. It's pink.
All right, it's a pink one. But let's.
Yeah, but that's the batch party dildo.
And you can wear it on your head.
Yeah,
or you
wear it on my head.
Oh, that's wonderful. All right, so yeah. Juliet, please order 3 green dildos for all of us
on it.
To wear on our heads for St. Patty's Day at Michael's.
Sounds
you guys.
Amazing.
Thank you. Thank you so much, our little skeleton crew here. We are. Transitioning, and not in the Caitlyn Jenner way, but we are. Lots of things going on behind
the
scenes.
Maybe in the Caitlyn Jenner way.
Maria's got a big meeting this weekend or Monday on our behalves.
Oh, good.
But we've had
so glad this is the show they'll be watching about me talking about all the dildos.
Well, that's what you do, Rox. That's why people love the show, and they love you. But yeah, a lot of interest around the Tomorrow Show. A lot of fun. A lot of good scams. What do we do? Where do we go? What do we just take the ship out of orbit? Do we decommission her? Like in Star Trek 3, decommission the ship. And do we retire? Do I become like Kirk and I'm bored in retirement?
Or do we, other people board the ship?
Other people could board the ship.
We're on purpose not saying
now
what
listen,
you want us to say right now, Michael.
Monday, okay, but here's the thing. I'm going to say this. Monday is our 200, could be our 200th episode. Now, I'm working on a fun special guest. If that guest can't make it schedule-wise, we're going to call Monday 201, Michael.
Done.
Okay.
And then when he can come, we'll be 200.
That's right. Because guess what? We can do
whatever the fuck we want.
Whatever we want. You guys, great scam. Thank you for sitting in with us. Thanks for drinking with us. Everyone have a healthy, happy, and safe St. Patty's Day. If you're home dealing with a Nor'easter, sorry.
It's a Nor'easter.
I will be drinking myself blind.
Same. Fun.
Yeah, fun. And I think Ashley Grace Daniels is going to do that with us, too.
Cool.
Yeah, it's the pet psychic today came through on Maria's show and told me my little baby's okay. And it was okay that I sent her on her way without Maria because she didn't want Maria to be there. She knew Maria couldn't handle it. And she was like, she said she knew my hands were the ones who kind of got her here. I had baby at 2 months. I was holding her at the pet store saying, you're mine and you're going to be with dad a long time. And she wanted me to be the one to send her out. So I know you don't believe in that stuff, Rox, but
I don't not believe in this
whatever
situation.
Moves the needle.
Yeah,
I was very guilty 100%. About that. And, you know, and now I feel a lot better. So as we go into our second song of our outro, it is at Roxy Stryer. And Rox, do you enjoy these outro songs or no? Do any of them move you?
A lot of them, honestly. And there's nothing better than when I'm out getting drinks somewhere and one of these comes on.
I love
that feeling.
Does it make you want to leave the bar, though?
No. It makes me want to stay forever.
You guys, is this one Lou Reed? I forget.
Satellite of Love? I think so.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Is that Bonjour Juliet? Is that the only MC? At Miss Ashley Daniels. I'm gonna just at Lauren LaGrasso. At Bladcast.
At Raylan Taren.
At Raylan Taren. Yes.
At Katie Campbell 13.
Whoa, that's way back
at
in time, but
Gilkerson
I like it.
Gilkerson Radio.
At Gilkerson Radio. Jared at 34 now, probably, or 38.
Married and shit.
At Zach Wilson.
At Abby underscore Vega or underscore Abby Vega. At that Zach Wilson.
That Zach Wilson.
At Morgan underscore Willette.
Yeah. Oh my God.
At Kelly Knezovich.
At Kelly Knezovich. Wow. So many people have been part of our crew. Maybe this is the last show. Oh, no. Rocks a Million.
I love you guys.
You guys.
I'm confused in the head, Cap.
I know, honey.
Tell me how to feel.
Please tune into my Bar Rescue after show at AfterBuzz TV.
Monday at 2 p.m.?
I had to do it alone because I got millennialed.
But no more. I'll be there Monday.
No. Okay. Also, Nicole Brazier proved to not be a millennial. She sent a lengthy letter of apology and sent pizzas over to AfterBuzz. And I go, and so Maria said, Kevin, that is not very millennial behavior. And so, no, it turns out I wasn't millennial. It was just a mistake.
Well, she knew she was dealing with the fucking boss. Are you dumb? Are you fucking dumb?
Oh, millennials have done worse to me.
Don't even fucking get me started. Next show, I will share the behind the fucking scenes of the fucking shoot we did with motherfucking host.
What host? Another host?
Next week. Monday show.
Oh, we had a... Wow, we had a bad...
For our shoot? For fucking Born This Way?
Oh.
I was gonna fucking kill somebody. I'm also in a bad place.
I know you are. Right now. But here's the thing. It's a very millennial thing. You know A&E's coming. It's an Emmy-nominated show. And it's your chance to be on TV. And you show up late by an hour.
I will tell the whole fucking Monday story. Okay. Tune in.
Something to look forward to.
But anyway, I will be... I think Monday, I'll be doing the Bar Rescue after show. I had to do it alone last week, and it was something short of an abortion. I wrote John Taffer. I said, I'm really sorry. My brain was shot. I was tired. I was nervous. But anyway, you guys, until we're back, right? What's the next song, Rox? Because I'm going to get us out of here.
I don't know. Which one is it, guys? Oh, we don't usually make it to this.
Oh, it's Jim Croce. I like this song. It's an underrated Jim Croce classic.
Also at Undergaro, because I don't think you did that
one.
At the Tomorrow Show. iTunes. Give us that rate, comment, subscribe.
Come on, guys.
YouTube.
Please.
Even if you're in the chat right now, which we love you guys. You guys are the diehards.
Oh, two favors from the chat. Here we go. Ready?
Number one.
One. Can you put some comments on the YouTube page? Because we have tons of comments on the live show, and then they all disappear. That's number one. Number two... Can you also rate and comment on iTunes if you already haven't done
You'll have to do it once. And I'll throw in a third one. Can you tell a friend?
Yeah, be nice to tell a friend.
Please, 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 please. Share the love.
Yeah, and until then, you guys, make it a better tomorrow. In the night we share
our heart. Thanks for tuning in to the Tomorrow Show. Thanks for tuning in to the Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. For guest bookings, questions, or comments, you can email us at info@thetomorrowshow.com. Be sure to follow us on social media and tell a friend about the show. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, your voice of tomorrow, wishing you a better one.